And you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Capital One, offering their travel card, Venture. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. And the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation at rwjf.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Do you own a business and value the programs on KPR? Your fellow Kansas Public Radio listeners could be your best customers. Support KPR and reach your fellow public radio fans by becoming a corporate sponsor. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
It's 93 degrees in Olathe, 93 in Topeka, 93 in Manhattan, and the time is 6:06.
NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Humanities Kansas, presenting the traveling exhibit Sorting Out Race at the Johnson County Community College, featuring thrift store objects depicting race and ethnicity through July 28th. Information at humanitieskansas.org.
Stay tuned. Coming up in our next half hour or so, at any rate before we get to 7 o'clock, we will learn more about the controversy surrounding botanical names. Move afoot to change some of them. Get an update on the terrible park wildfire that grew overnight near Chico, California. And as you can probably guess from the music in the background, celebrating the 40th anniversary of Purple Rain, the film, coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Merck Co-op, featuring fresh prepared foods and drinks and made-from-scratch pastries. Open daily at 901 Iowa in Lawrence and 501 Minnesota in KCK.
Partly cloudy skies tonight, very humid, lows around 70, continued humid tomorrow with a slight chance of showers and storms in the afternoon, highs in the upper 80s. It will probably feel warmer than that due to the relative humidity. Humid again tomorrow night, lows in the lower 70s, highs in the lower 90s on Sunday, upper 90s on Monday, right around 100 Tuesday through Thursday. It is 93 degrees in Lawrence. It is 93 in Topeka. 93 in Emporia. The time is 6:20.
So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
We take a look at Harris's courtroom beginnings and how they might frame her campaign, and all things considered, from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock on your KPR stations for Weekend All Things Considered.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on After the Harvest, introducing UPP, or Urban Produce Push, with a goal to provide produce to the people and pantries in every corner of Kansas City. More details on how to help at aftertheharvestkc.org.
Up next, news headlines, then another 30 minutes of All Things Considered. 93 degrees in Lawrence, 93 in Chanute. The time is 6:30.
...is really the principal operators of that business.
That's Mary Beth Sheridan. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Democratic Governor Laura Kelly and Democratic former Governor Kathleen Sebelius are endorsing opposing candidates in the primary race for Kansas Senate District 2, which includes much of the city of Lawrence. Daniel Caudill has the details.
Kelly is endorsing longtime incumbent Marcy Francisco. The two joined the legislature around the same time and have a close relationship. Will Lawrence is Kelly's chief of staff. He says Francisco has reliably supported the governor's goals, including Kelly's recent vetoes of tax cuts.
Senator Francisco has been there to sustain all those vetoes.
Francisco's challenger, Representative Christina Haswood, broke with the governor by voting to override one of those tax vetoes. She's got the support of former Governor Sebelius. Haswood says she's grateful for her support and wants to see more young people in office. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Daniel Caudle at the State House.
U.S. Senator Jerry Moran, a Kansas Republican, joined leaders at the University of Kansas today to announce funding for the KU Cancer Center and the KU Health System. Moran announced a federal investment of $10 million to go toward a new cancer research and patient care facility on KU's Kansas City, Kansas campus. Moran says he hopes the federal funding will speed research at the facility.
What I've always thought that research, medical research, was about is hope that things are going to improve, get better, and we're going to rid ourselves of this terribly damaging disease.
Moran announced an additional $10 million allocated for cardiovascular equipment for the University of Kansas Health System. He says he's working on additional federal resources for these projects and hopes more money will come in the future. Federal officials issued a $10 million bounty yesterday for a North Korean national wanted for allegedly hacking a Kansas hospital. Peggy Lowe has that story.
A federal grand jury has charged North Korean Rim Jong-hyuk for ransomware attacks and cyber espionage. He allegedly targeted the unnamed Kansas hospital and systems in four other states in 2021. FBI Special Agent Stephen Cyrus says the hackers used the money for larger targets.
In this case, we have seen North Korean actors target U.S. hospitals and public health providers, launder the proceeds, and then use these proceeds to conduct additional computer intrusions on companies that provide some of our most sophisticated military weapon systems.
Cyrus said the Kansas hospital worked with the FBI to uncover the hacking. I'm Peggy Lowe.
The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, it's going to be humid and hot for the next several days. Lows around 70 tonight, tomorrow humid, slight chance of showers and storms in the afternoon, highs in the upper 80s, lows in the lower 70s tomorrow night, highs in the lower 90s for Sunday, upper 90s for Monday, right around 100 for Tuesday and Wednesday.
From NPR News.
Are you seriously asking that?
Join us every weekday for a well-rounded start to your morning.
Monday through Friday, 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition is a great way to start your day with the latest national, international, and regional news.
Support for KPR comes from Lawrence Public Library, encouraging folks new to Lawrence to sign up for a library card, attend events, borrow books and movies, and meet new people at this community hub. Information at lplks.org.
Stay with us. That look back at Purple Rain coming right up. If you're joining us on KPR One stations following All Things Considered, we have Film Music Friday tonight, focusing on the work of Jerry Goldsmith, truly one of the legends in cinematic composition. That will be followed by Jazz in the Night. If you're joining us on KPR Two, stick around for Snap Judgment, followed by news from the BBC World Service.
Support for KPR comes from the KU Natural History Museum, offering a variety of public events throughout the year for K through 12 youth, KU students, and families, including monthly series and special events. See upcoming events at biodiversity.ku.edu.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, and many other frequencies all around the state. Always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org or check out the KPR app. Good way to connect with us as well. It is 93 degrees in Lawrence at 10 minutes before 7.
Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on safe driving habits at progressive.com, not available in California or from all agents. From BritBox, dedicated to helping people discover British crime series, including new seasons of Silent Witness, Blue Lights, and The Responder, starring Martin Freeman. Streaming at BritBox.com/NPR. From Bank of America, offering access to resources and digital tools designed to help local to global companies make moves for their businesses. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
So Morning Edition from NPR News can't transport you to the beach this summer, but we can keep you company through all your summer adventures and keep you informed. Listen weekdays.
Join us for Morning Edition 5 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. Tom Parkinson will be your host once again on Monday. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KAND and KAMB HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Pines Garden and Market, carrying a full line of farm-fresh local produce, including tomatoes, sweet corn, peaches, and other grades of Midwestern produce. Open 7 days a week in North Lawrence. Details at pinesgardenmarket.com.
Coming up next, news headlines, followed by Stardate, then Film Music Friday. Tonight, a salute to composer Jerry Goldsmith, one of the most innovative and influential composers in film. We will hear music from films like Chinatown, Planet of the Apes, The Omen. In the background, we have The Wind and the Lion. All of this is coming up. Daryl Brogdon is your host, 7 to 9 p.m., right here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Woodhaven, Inc., manufacturing custom deck and siding solutions using sustainable woods and powered exclusively by wind energy. Located in Perry with shipping available to the entire KPR listening area. Details at woodhavenproducts.com.
Humid conditions tonight, low around 70. Humid conditions tomorrow with a high in the upper 80s. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. The opening ceremony of the Summer Olympics in Paris has wrapped up. Thousands of athletes and performers took part in a first-of-its-kind ceremony staged along 4 miles of the River Seine. NPR's Becky Sullivan has more from Paris.
At every stage, the opening ceremony grew more and more grand, even despite the rain. Delegations of athletes made their way downriver on boats, waving at the riverbanks and bridges lined with 300,000 spectators, passing iconic Parisian sites like the Louvre and Notre Dame. Dancers and musicians performed to a who's who of French composers. There was a light show at the Eiffel Tower, a comeback performance by the singer Celine Dion, whose health issues have kept her off the stage for 2 years, and finally the Olympic flame lit and set aloft on a hot air balloon. The success of the ceremony was a relief here in France after Friday morning had begun with a coordinated attack on the national rail system. The first Olympic medals will be awarded Saturday. Becky Sullivan, NPR News, Paris.
The FBI says former President Donald Trump's ear was hit by a bullet or a fragment of a bullet when a gunman fired at him July 13th during a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. Conspiracy theory suggested he hadn't been shot, but instead struck by glass from his teleprompter. Meanwhile, Trump said on his social media platform that he plans to hold another rally in Butler where he survived the assassination attempt, but he hasn't said when. One of the most notorious drug lords in the world is now under arrest in the U.S. Ismael El Mayo Zambada co-founded the Sinaloa cartel, the biggest producer of fentanyl in the world. Today he pleaded not guilty to drug trafficking and other charges. And NPR's Ada Peralta has more.
Zambada became much more important after El Chapo Guzman was arrested. El Chapo is serving a life sentence in the United States. So under Zambada's leadership, the Sinaloa cartel became the biggest exporter of fentanyl in the world. And fentanyl is killing tens of thousands of Americans every year. It's the worst drug epidemic the country has ever experienced.
And NPR's Ada Peralta reporting. Several wildfires are burning across the western part of the country, including California, where the Park Fire near Chico, the largest in the state so far this year, has burned more than 160,000 acres and has led to evacuations. And that includes parts of the town of Paradise, where the Camp Fire killed more than 80 people and destroyed the town in 2018. In this fire, more than 100 structures have been burned and more than 4,000 are at risk. Officials say the fire was caused by a man who pushed a burning car into a gully. He's now in police custody. And in Oregon, a firefighter pilot has died. His air tanker crashed, and he says he was helping to put out a new lightning strike fire while battling the Falls Fire. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Amazon Business. From small business to big enterprise and everything in between, Amazon Business works to help simplify the supplies buying process. Learn more about smart business buying at amazonbusiness.com. From the University of Kansas, your place to find NPR News is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate July 26th. You'll find lots of visitors in the downtown of any major city. That may also be the case with the downtown of our home galaxy, the Milky Way. A recent study found that one of the stars in the galaxy's core probably was born far outside that region. The core contains a supermassive black hole that's more than 4 million times the mass of the Sun. Swarms of stars encircle the black hole, some of them quite close. But the black hole's gravity is so powerful, it would stir up any star-forming gas and dust around it, preventing the birth of stars. So the stars that are close to the black hole must have been born elsewhere, then migrated in toward the black hole. One of those stars is cataloged as SO6. The new study found that it's no more than two-thirds of a light year from the black hole, and perhaps a good bit closer. The star is probably about 10 billion years old, twice as old as the Sun, and it's nearing the end of its life. It's gotten bigger and cooler, forming a red giant. That suggests it's about the same mass as the Sun. But its chemical composition doesn't match that of most of the stars in the core. Instead, it's a closer match for the stars in many of the small galaxies that surround the Milky Way. So SO6 could have started 50,000 light years or more from its current location, then migrated into the core, a visitor to downtown Milky Way. McDonald Observatory offers star parties, tours, and other programs for visitors. Details at mcdonaldobservatory.org. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Music from the movie Air Force One, composed by Jerry Goldsmith, and here for you on tonight's edition of Film Music Friday on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Many thanks for joining us here at our regular Friday night celebration of music from the movies. And tonight, we shall attempt the impossible. In just 2 hours, we'll try to bring you the highlights of one of the most innovative and influential composers in film. 20 years ago, composer Marco Beltrami, who provided music for movies like Hellboy, 310 to Yuma, and World War Z, had this to say about Jerry Goldsmith. He said, "Without Jerry, film music would probably be in a different place than it is now. I think he, more than any other composer, bridged the gap between the old Hollywood scoring style and the modern film composer." So let's begin at the beginning. Jerry Goldsmith was 16 and already a piano student when he saw the movie Spellbound and heard that famous score by Miklos Rocha.
It was then that he was inspired to pursue a career in film music. By 1950, he was working at CBS providing music for network radio dramas. And soon he moved on to television, and here's a sample of his early TV work. It's for the Playhouse 90 series and a play entitled Tomorrow, broadcast in the spring of 1960. Jerry Goldsmith on KPR's Film Music Friday.
Thank you.
On KPR, Jerry Goldsmith's music for an episode of TV's Playhouse 90. The story was a rustic tale called Tomorrow, written by Horton Foote and directed by Robert Mulligan. It was during those years that Jerry Goldsmith worked on a lot of different TV shows. The Twilight Zone, Perry Mason, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Tonight on Film Music Friday, music by one of the greats, Jerry Goldsmith. Later in the hour, The Blue Max, and we'll visit the planet. Jerry Goldsmith had already worked on a couple of feature films by 1962 when he was hired to write the music for Lonely or the Brave, a modern western starring Kirk Douglas as a cowboy who has trouble fitting in with the modern world. In fact, Jerry Goldsmith had been recommended for the job by composer Alfred Newman, who heard his work on an episode of TV's Thriller. It was from this movie that the name Jerry Goldsmith became much better known. Here's a suite drawn from music for Lonely Are the Brave on KPR's Film Music Friday.
Thank you.
Jerry Goldsmith's music for the movie Lonely Are the Brave, 1962, here on KPR. Up ahead, a planet ruled by apes and set to the music of Jerry Goldsmith, who we are featuring on tonight's Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Tomorrow morning on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the panelists weigh in on the top news stories of the week. Plus, musician and best-selling author Kathleen Hanna stops by to talk about her life as a pioneer of the punk rock feminist movement. And then plays Not My Job. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. It's tomorrow morning at 10 on KPR. Jerry Goldsmith wasn't the first choice to write the music for the movie The Blue Max. And when he got his first look at the film, there was what's called a temp track laid in, using Also Sprach Zarathustra by Richard Strauss. Goldsmith later said it worked so well with the scenes he saw that he had trouble coming up with his own score for the film. The Blue Max is a World War I story about an up-and-coming German pilot who cares only about rising through the ranks, obsessed with winning Germany's highest medal for valor, the Blue Max, for which he has to shoot down 20 aircraft. So let's take flight with The Blue Max, music by Jerry Goldsmith, on KPR's Film Music Friday.
We'll be right back.
That's music depicting the joy and the fear of flight by Jerry Goldsmith for the Blue Max, 1966, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. Still to come, we'll travel to the Planet of the Apes and hear some of the avant-garde sounds created for that movie by Jerry Goldsmith. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu. Your place for NPR News and Film Music Friday is Kansas Public Radio. Don't forget, you can listen to Film Music Friday on demand at the KPR website. Just go to kansaspublicradio.org and click on Music. That's where you'll find Film Music Friday. That's a love theme written by Jerry Goldsmith for the movie The Prize, 1963, and played on the piano by Mark Northam. This is kind of a combination soap opera and spy thriller set in Stockholm around a Nobel Prize Award ceremony. Tonight on Film Music Friday, we're hearing music composed for movies by one of the greats, Jerry Goldsmith. There's news from NPR at 8:01, and Film Music Friday continues till 9 p.m. Jerry Goldsmith wasn't the first composer to use melodies that would be considered avant-garde in a motion picture. He was, however, the first to do so in a big-budget blockbuster like Planet of the Apes. This was 1968, the story of astronauts who crash-land on a planet where humans run wild and the apes are the rulers. The music was fairly controversial at the time. Goldsmith used techniques like looping drums into an echoplex, using the orchestra to imitate the grunting sound of the apes, horns blown without mouthpieces, along with steel mixing bowls, among other objects, to create unique percussive sounds. Here is music for Planet of the Apes on KPR's Film Music Friday.
We'll be right back.
That music at the end is what leads up to the astronaut played by Charlton Heston discovering the Statue of Liberty half buried in the beach and realizing that he's been on Earth all along. Music for the Planet of the Apes, named by the American Film Institute one of the top 25 American film scores. I'm Daryl Brogdon. This is Film Music Friday, and after the news, more by Jerry Goldsmith, including music from Star Trek, The Twilight Zone, and The Omen.
Here's a riddle. What do you get when you send two trumpet players and a singer into a barn? Fiddy Brickell, Trevor Hagen, and C.J. Camerari, you get a lot of songs that includes lyrics improvised on the spot.
That first moment of inspiration strikes, but I don't know how it's going to get there. You just trust and go. You're just singing in the dark.
That conversation in the latest news, Saturday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition is tomorrow morning, 7 to 10. On KPR. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News is Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or just tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for news on KPR comes from the Yoga Center of Lawrence, providing Lawrence and surrounding communities with yoga instruction by Iyengar yoga instructors since 1999. Class schedule and registration information at yogacenteroflawrence.org. It's a minute past 8 o'clock.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Celine Dion made a surprise return to the stage at the Olympics opening ceremony in Paris. As NPR's Juana Summers reports, it was one of a number of moments that thrilled crowds that lined the Seine in France, as well as a massive audience watching from elsewhere.
Dion's performance was the finale of a star-studded lineup at the opening ceremony, a rare appearance for the singer, who previously announced she had been diagnosed with a neurological condition known as stiff person syndrome. The unconventional opening ceremony, held mostly in the rain, showcased a floating parade of athletes on the Seine, a mix of musical styles, and a showcase of French culture. The games began in earnest on Saturday. Juana Summers, NPR News Paris.
But hours before the ceremony, arsonists attacked France's high-speed rail network, paralyzing train travel to Paris for some 800,000 people across Europe, including athletes heading to the opening ceremony of those Olympics games. Remote locations far from the capital were targeted with apparently coordinated attacks that sought to cut off rail routes into the city from all directions. The fires were predominantly set in pipes containing critical signaling cables. No one has claimed responsibility. Former President Donald Trump has promised to make a return visit to Butler, Pennsylvania, where he narrowly missed being killed by an assassin's bullet 2 weeks ago. But as NPR's Martin Costi reports, details are still scarce.
In a post on Truth Social, Trump promised a, quote, big and beautiful rally, which he says will honor the spectators killed or wounded at the previous rally on July 13th. The announcement is a surprise to local officials who say they don't yet know the event's date or location. At the last rally, local police agencies worked with the Secret Service, but there was still a security lapse so great that a gunman managed to get a clear shot at Trump from a nearby rooftop. Butler County Sheriff Michael Sloop says he learned about the return visit rally from reporters, but in an email to NPR, he says, quote, "We stand ready to work with the Secret Service if called upon to assist them." Martin Costi, NPR News.
California is ordering its agencies to start clearing out homeless encampments a month after the Supreme Court ruling made it easier to force people to move even if they have nowhere to go. NPR's Jennifer Ludden has more.
The order basically says agencies should prioritize encampments that pose an imminent danger to, quote, life, health, safety, or infrastructure. And those can be removed immediately. Otherwise, it says officials have to give 48 hours notice. Now, the order encourages cities and counties to do this as well. It cannot force them to take action, although it could withhold state money.
NPR's Jennifer Ludden. California accounts for nearly a third of the country's homeless population. Wall Street higher by the closing bell. You're listening to NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the estate of Joan B. Kroc,
whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR be the model of high-quality journalism in the 21st century. From the University of Kansas, this is your place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio. That's the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra, conducted by Eric Kunzel, with Jerry Goldsmith's majestic overture for Star Trek, the motion picture, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. Jerry Goldsmith had a long association with the Star Trek franchise. He wrote the scores for 5 Star Trek movies and the theme music for 2 of the spin-off TV series, Deep Space Nine and Voyager. I'm Darryl Brogdon, and tonight on Film Music Friday, we're hearing music by one of the great film composers, Jerry Goldsmith. Originally, it was his intention to write for the concert hall, but fortunately for movie lovers, he spent a long and fruitful career providing music for the big screen.
Still to come, the music that may still haunt your nightmares. I know it haunts mine, from The Omen. Plus, a suite from The Twilight Zone. You know, it's impossible in 2 hours to hit every highlight in the career of Jerry Goldsmith. So let's be efficient with our time and listen to a medley of tunes from various feature films. This has familiar themes from The Sand Pebbles, Chinatown, A Patch of Blue, Poltergeist, and Papillon, all films for which Jerry Goldsmith wrote the scores. This is the Philharmonia conducted by Jerry Goldsmith on KPR's Film Music Friday. five familiar movie themes from the pen of Jerry Goldsmith, performed by the Philharmonia, including The Sand Pebbles, which got an Oscar nomination, plus the classic Chinatown, A Patch of Blue, Poltergeist, and Papillon. Coming up on KPR, some of the scariest music ever written for a movie, at least to my ears. I'm Daryl Brogdon. This is Film Music Friday. Every Friday, we celebrate movie music here on Kansas Public Radio.
Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 91.3 Junction City. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or just tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Music from The Mummy here on KPR. Obviously not the original Mummy, but the exceptional 1999 remake, which takes the story of The Mummy and transplants it into an Indiana Jones-type movie. Featuring music by Jerry Goldsmith. That's who we're featuring on tonight's Film Music Friday here at KPR. And in the next half hour, we'll hear a suite from The Twilight Zone. Thank you so much for joining us here at KPR. I'm Daryl Brogdon with a reminder that you can listen to Film Music Friday on demand anytime at the KPR website. Just go to kansaspublicradio.org and click on Music, and there you'll find Film Music Friday. In addition, you'll find us on the KPR app in the On Demand section, so you can stream the show right to your smartphone. From 1976, The Omen is a horror thriller about a child who may be the Antichrist. Jerry Goldsmith won his only Oscar for this film, which features a theme he called Ave Satani, which is Latin for Hail Satan. He once said in an interview that his aim here was to create a sort of satanic version of a Gregorian chant or a black mass. In fact, he used and inverted phrases from an actual Latin mass. For example, instead of Ave Maria, it became Ave Satani. This actually got an Oscar nomination as Best Song, although it lost out to Evergreen from the Barbra Streisand version of A Star is Born. It is some of cinema's most chilling music. Ave Satani by Jerry Goldsmith. Music from The Omen on KPR's Film Music Friday. We drink the blood, we eat the flesh, raise the body of Satan. Some of the lyrics for Ave Satani, music from The Omen, by Jerry Goldsmith, 1976, here on Kansas Public Radio. Up ahead, there's music for A Couple of Generals. That's later in this half hour. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, educating generations of Jayhawks to become pioneers, innovators, voyagers, and champions. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu. From the University of Kansas, your place for NPR News and Film Music Friday is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 99.5 Manhattan. There's some of the music composed by Jerry Goldsmith for Twilight Zone the Movie, that hit-and-miss reboot of the TV series, which had four, count 'em, four directors, each doing an individual story. Steven Spielberg, John Landis, George Miller, and Joe Dante. The music there takes bits and pieces from each of the four stories. And Goldsmith was a great choice to score this film, since he had provided music for numerous episodes of the classic TV show. And for my money, the best part of Twilight Zone, the movie, aside from the music, of course, by Jerry Goldsmith, is the episode they redid called Nightmare at 40,000 Feet, where the guy in the airplane sees a gremlin on the wing. It's Film Music Friday on KPR. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Stay tuned for news at 9:01, followed by Jazz in the Night with your host, Bob McWilliams. That's the theme music by Jerry Goldsmith for the movie Alien. You're on Kansas Public Radio's Film Music Friday. This was another fright fest, but the opening theme rather than trying to unsettle or scare us, seems more concerned with the majesty and the wonder of outer space, albeit with a slightly sinister undercurrent. Great movie, great music by Jerry Goldsmith. It's Film Music Friday on KPR. I'm Darryl Brogdon. News from National Public Radio coming up at 9:01.
Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
Jerry Goldsmith continued working in TV and movies till his death at the age of 75 in 2004. His final film score was for Looney Tunes, Back in Action, and his last year's featured work on his final Star Trek film, Nemesis, plus films like The Sum of All Fears and The Last Castle. You can make a strong case that he is maybe the greatest of all the film composers. At the very least, he's among the greats for sure. We'll finish tonight with two themes from two movies about two generals. One is George Patton, the other Douglas MacArthur. This is The General's Suite on KPR's Film Music Friday. Kansas Public Radio's KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute.
Hope you'll stick around for NPR News, which is up next, and Bob McWilliams is on deck to bring you some great tunes on Jazz in the Night. All that is next, right here for you on Kansas Public Radio stations. The time is 9:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Former President Donald Trump hosted Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at his Mar-a-Lago resort in South Florida today. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports on their efforts to ease tensions and rekindle an alliance ahead of the 2024 election.
The former president and current GOP nominee has been critical of the prime minister's handling of the conflict in Gaza ever since the October 7th attack on Israel. But sitting across from Netanyahu, Trump sought to highlight his support for Israel. And he touted his decision when in the White House to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem.
We've had a good relationship. I was very good to Israel, better than any president's ever been.
The visit follows meetings Netanyahu had with President Biden and Vice President Harris. Harris, who is likely to run against Trump for the presidency, forcefully called on Israel to seek a ceasefire and end the war in Gaza. Trump called Harris's remarks toward Israel disrespectful. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
The FBI is confirming that former President Trump's ear was hit by a bullet or a fragment of a bullet when a gunman fired at him July 13th during a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. Conspiracy theories suggested he hadn't been shot but instead struck by glass from his teleprompter. But today's statement from the FBI should settle that speculation. Meanwhile, Trump said on his social media platform that he intends to hold another rally in Butler where he survived that assassination attempt, but he didn't say when. The Justice Department has agreed to pay damages to two former FBI officials for publicly releasing their private text messages critical of then-President Trump. As NPR's Nina Totenberg reports, the two alleged that the Trump administration illegally targeted them for retaliation after they were assigned to the investigation of Russia's interference in the 2016 election.
Lawyers for former FBI Special Agent Peter Strzok announced the settlement, which calls for the Justice Department to pay him $1.2 million in damages. Lawyers for Lisa Page, who at the time was a career lawyer for the FBI, declined to say how much she would be paid. But in a written statement, Page said, "While I've been vindicated by this result, my fervent hope remains that our institutions of justice will never again play politics with the lives of their employees." Still pending and unresolved are Strzok's allegations that he was illegally fired from the FBI in violation of his free speech rights. Prior to his dismissal, Strzok had been a top counterintelligence agent who, among other things, oversaw the investigation of Edward Snowden and who identified a car abandoned by several 9/11 terrorists in Boston. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
The Federal Reserve's favored inflation measure shows inflation eased slightly last month. That eases the way for the Fed to start cutting interest rates when it meets in September. Wall Street higher by the closing bell. This is NPR. A disaster was declared this morning in an area near the Texas Panhandle, and officials are calling for state help after major earthquakes there this week. From member station KTTZ, Brad Burt has more.
Residents around Snyder, Texas, are used to minor earthquakes, but local officials say more than 60 quakes have been felt in the span of a week, including two of the strongest in Texas history. Scurry County Judge Dan Hicks says structural damages from the 4.9 and 5.1 magnitude quakes have been reported, but local emergency officials are trying to get ready for the future.
You hear about them in California and other parts of the world, but West Texas, you don't think about that large of an earthquake. I don't know what there is right now that we can do, but that's something that we're going to research as far as what we can do to be prepared for future earthquakes.
Texans have reported feeling the shakes across the state. Local emergency officials are working with the Texas Department of Emergency Management to monitor the damage. I'm Brad Burt in Lubbock.
More than 8,000 airline catering workers are threatening to go on strike next week over pay and benefits. They're the workers who prepare meals and deliver drinks and snacks to airplanes at about 30 airports around the country. Union officials say if contract talks with the catering company, Gate Gourmet, fail, talks have been going on for years. The company says it made an offer that includes wage and health care improvements.
This all could, if a strike happens, it could cause more headaches for airline travel, which was disrupted by a technology outage late last week. I'm Janine Herbst, and you're listening to NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing transformative youth and criminal justice reforms.
It's a Charlie Parker tune, Cheryl, here on KPR from the new album, Art Form Revisited, by drummer Lewis Hayes. He came to New York City from Detroit in 1956 to join the Horace Silver Quintet. He is swinging strong, recorded just this past January with saxophonist Abraham Burton, vibraphonist Steve Nelson, pianist David Hazeltine, bassist Desron Douglas, a master of jazz, indeed, drummer Lewis Hayes. I'm Bob McWilliams. Welcome to Jazz in the Night here on KPR. We've got a tenor sax and piano duet, a new album from Eric Alexander and Mike LeDun, coming your way in just about 7-8 minutes here on KPR. I'm Bob McWilliams, and always a treat to be sharing the music with you. Let's hear the Ben Patterson Jazz Orchestra, the trombonist, composer, and arranger's new album called Groove Junkies. And this is Ben's tune, The Way of the Groove, here on KPR. the Ben Patterson Jazz Orchestra here on Kansas Public Radio. Ben's composition and arrangement, The Way of the Groove. It featured Ben soloing on trombone, other soloists Alec Aldred on trumpet, and Sean Purcell guitar, The Way of the Groove. We've got the one and only Blossom Dearie coming your way in about 12-plus minutes, the singer and pianist with her distinctive style from 1959 with a piece of music written by Leonard Bernstein and the lyrics by that great team of Betty Comden and Adolph Green. That is headed our way for...